Let us pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, you blessed your people that we can still be together under the sound of your words. You called us to glorify your name, to strengthen us through your word and spirit. And we give all glory to you. And we thank you, Lord, for all the good gifts that we are receiving from you, that we can know in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have received so much grace that we can enter your throne with our prayers, that we can lay our needs before you. And as a Father, that you listen to our prayers, that our prayers become a lovely fragrance before your throne. Father, we pray for your church here in Blacksland. We pray that we will grow, that we will grow in our steadfastness, in our zeal to you, but also in the love we have for one another, and above all, for you. Also for the preaching of the word, Lord, that we can hear your word, that your spirit will prepare our hearts so that the word will grow and that we can heed to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible reading, it's from the prophet Hosea, Hosea 7, verse 8 to 16.
If you're looking for it in your Bible, it's behind Daniel. Chapter 7, verses 8 to 16. Take particular note of verse 8, 11 and 16, because they're the text verses. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, and he knows it not. Grey hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is like a dove, silly and without sense, calling to Egypt, going to Assyria. As they go, I will spread over them my net. I will bring them down like birds of the heavens. I will discipline them according to the report made to their congregation. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from the heart, but they wail upon their beds. For grain and wine they gash themselves. They rebel against me. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not upward. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt.
Verses 8. The words, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Verse 11. Ephraim is like a dove, silly and without sense. And also verse 16. They are like a treacherous bow. They are like a treacherous bow. And a topic this evening, God alone can give direction and meaning in my life. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing more depressing. If you don't reach the goal that you have set for yourself, you were practicing so hard, but you didn't make the team. You studied for hours, but you can't remember anything. When exam papers in front of you. You spent a lot of money to make the dress for you or your children. but it doesn't fit. Spend hours working a proposal, but in an instant, management or local council decided it's not practical. You work hard, you plan for your retirement, but inflation or circumstances like sickness is destroying your savings. No Bible reading. The prophet Hosea gives examples of what life is without the Lord. Now the Lord and Creator sees you. If you leave Him, leave the love He has for you. And Hosea needs to tell Israel and the church of all times that if you live without the Lord, your life will be like a cake, a flat cake, not turned over. You will be like a dove, deceived and senseless, or like a faulty bow. If you were here last week, it was a similar message that the prophet Jeremiah gave to Judah. And now Hosea was giving to Israel. Jeremiah had to tell Judah, Jeremiah 13, that the Lord had chosen Israel among the nations as His people. Like a clean white linen belt, they were destined to be a holy priestly nation. And He redeemed Israel out of the slavery of Egypt, tied Him tightly to Him by an everlasting covenant. He had tightened His covenant people to His ways so that He could be proud of them. But they rejected Him. They refused to listen to the Lord, followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They went after idols and worshipped them. And eventually, they were so part of the sinful world, so dirty and ragged, like a dirty, ragged belt that would no longer use any for any use for the Lord. In the book of Hosea, the Lord tells Israel or Ephraim that they've missed their purpose. Ephraim was the name of the youngest son of Joseph, the name also of the principal tribe or the northern tribe of Israel. And so this name is also applied to the entire kingdom, just as the name Judah was applied to the kingdom of the south, the two tribes. And Ephraim replaced their relationship with their living, loving father for a dumb idol, Baal. And the covenant of God with His people concluded that they should only serve Him as the giver of all good, that He saved His people while they were still slaves. In Hosea 11, we read that they were like a child, that He carried them, that He loved them. But Ephraim turned away from the Lord, even after witnessing extraordinary miracles in the wilderness, in the desert, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of clouds, the pillar of fire, the raining down of the manna, the heavenly bread, the raining of flying birds, the feeding 31 kings. And how, after all these magnificent miracles they saw, could they turn from the Lord and worship the idols of the land? They did not trust the Heavenly Father, but rather made close alliances with Egypt, their former slavers. They made alliances, they turned to Assyria, verse 11. They did not put their trust in their father. They were disobedient to God. They did not love them, Him, as they were created to do. They had lost their direction like a senseless dove turned to idol worship. And the cause of Israel's problems was their lack of identity, that they wanted to be like the world, so that they, in the end, did not know who they were anymore. And in turning to the worship of the fertility gods and the goddess of Baal, they were also engaging in the immoral practices associated with them. So true for us as well. If you lose your identity in Christ, you don't know who you are anymore. You have become worthless. And we can relate to this so well. As Christians, Christ is now our identity. You are called Christian. This means that you share in Him, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice of thanks, and that you will reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. But if you don't know who you are or who the Lord is, then it is if you're missing your purpose, then the Lord calls you to repent, to come to Him, to learn from Him. Israel did not know who they belonged to anymore. And since the primitive religions were removed from any moral requirements, removed from the law, also did not have a personal relationship with their gods or their idols, the Israelites began turning away from their faith in one God. And their standard set of values, but also from their obligations to the poor and the widows, and ultimately to be a light to the nations, as it was their calling, according to the prophet Amos as well. And if this what makes you you, what you were created to do, was to do, namely to glorify God, then there will be a feeling that you don't belong. Therefore, the people of Samaria must bear their guilt because they have rebelled against their God. Verse 13, the Lord said to them, "Woe to them, for they have strayed from me, destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me." And this is the point the Lord wanted to make. Through their alliances with the world, and to be one with the world, they turned from the Lord. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will hate one." And so Israel had lost their direction. They have lost their identity. And in the Lord's grace, He's calling them now to repent. Otherwise, they will experience the Lord's punishment over their sins. And it's so striking, the examples the Lord used to describe to Israel what they have become. And I think we can relate to this as well. A cake not turned over. What happens if you try to mix up a pancake and forget to turn it over? It starts to burn. Smoke alarms sometimes go off. And when you start making deals with heathen nations, or just become one of the faceless crowd, you begin to lose your identity and strength. And Israel lost their strength and worth because they were mingled with the heathen nations. Verse 9, "Strangers devours his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not." all mixed up. What do? With burnt pancakes? We throw it in the bin. Worthless. Indigestible. A failure. Therefore, we also need to hear, we have seen God's great miracles, but sometimes we also find ourselves enticed by this world's gods of power, convenience, fame, pleasure, recognition, and so on. And as Israel was a flat cake not turned over, so are we if we give in to the pleasures of this world. We will become like a burnt flat cake or pancake, worthless, not to the Lord's honor and glory anymore. And therefore, Hosea is getting a clear message. Beware of this wicked and sinful world. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Beware to the exposure to what is sinful and wrong. Because you will lose your identity. The second example, Hosea used, the Lord used, a dove, easily deceived and senseless. Have you ever watched a dove? It has a little tiny head in proportion to its body. Probably a little brain. But there's another dove that might be more applicable to our text. It's the rock dove or the pigeon. And we all know pigeons, that they can find their homes hundreds of kilometers away. There are even people that are farming with them. But sometimes they become prey for falcons because the doves became senseless. They don't know where they are. And that's because they are not aware of all the dangers around them. And then always, only the strongest dove will come home. And so Hosea pictures Israel as a dove. Clueless. Oblivious to the fact that Assyrian's net is just about to plunk down on them to capture them. But still they are making alliances with the Assyrians. Israel was so sure that they are politically on the right track, that these were the stronger nations. But through their alliances, they would become prey. They would not listen to the prophets because they were too proud. Pigeons, of course, do not easily come back and track again. Therefore, brothers, sister, and child, do not let this happen to you. Do not seek salvation elsewhere. Do not think that you can survive without the Lord. No, we should stay in the Lord, stay in His Word, the direction taught by His Word. Like this morning, Scripture is sufficient, complete. And so the prophets and the apostles preached the whole way of salvation. They preached the way that you need to follow. And that way is our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way, the truth, and the life. This is the way to eternal home. Therefore also, for our young people, stay in what you have learned. You need the Word of God, God's direction in your life. And if we are going to be all we can for the glory of God, we need a closer relationship with God's Word as well. To study God's Word, to learn about His mercy, but ultimately to find the truth in it. And if we are to grow in the Lord, if He wants us to be less of ourselves, more like Jesus, then we need a word to stay on direction. The word is our direction, our radar. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate goal, according to Hebrews 11. Keep your eyes focused on Him and walk with the word in your hand. The last example is a faulty bow. What causes an instrument, a bow, to become unreliable? And how valuable is a bow? Or in modern language, a gun that cannot shoot. A bow without arrows, a gun without bullets. A faulty bow has lost its resilience, its accuracy. It can no longer place the arrow straight towards the defined target. And so the Lord used the faulty bow as a metaphor for Israel, who lost their edge, who lost their sharpness. Once they were useful to the Lord, but now they have become unreliable and faulty. They are no longer a trustworthy instrument in His hands, and they have lost their direction and purpose. And as the Lord's instruments, they have become worthless. The Lord had elected them to be His light, to promote His glory, to proclaim Him, but they had failed in their calling, and therefore they have become worthless. And so the image assumes that when an arrow is mounted and drawn and a bowstring released, the bow should send the arrow forward. But a faulty bow can twist and injure the archer. You can have so many examples. Also, the preaching that should reach the heart. For me, it's an example as well. But what if the preaching doesn't reach the heart? Then there's no sense for me to preach here to you. Israel became useless. The Lord called them and chose them as His people to glorify Him. But they failed miserably in their calling. And so can a congregation as well. They missed their purpose like faulty bows. And so is it with everyone who don't find their strength in the word of the God, the Lord. Everyone who lives without the Lord, we become useless against the evil forces. And we need to know that Satan and his forces are armed to the teeth. Satan doesn't use faulty bows, but razor sharp swords of deceit. And then the answer, only in Jesus. We can become reliable and functional again. How can it be? Only if we are born again through the Spirit of God. God is making us useful to fulfill our calling, to be a light to the nations. And God has put us back in His service through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has become now our direction, our purpose. And in Jesus, our identity has changed. That's the whole letter of 1 Peter as well, that Jesus has become your identity. Our calling. Jesus calls us as His church to be the light of the world, to walk in His light. This is your purpose. This is your mission. This is the reason we exist as the Christian Reformed Church of Blaxland. But if we are not obedient to the Lord, then we missed our purpose. Then the Lord said, I will take your lampstand away because your light is not shining anymore. And the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus is the light. This is our message. And we are instructed as Christians to stay in the Lord, to live in His glory, and to be the light of the world. And our specific command Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then the comfort, I'm with you to the end of the age. Israel's calling was to live to God's glory, but they failed. They became like faulty bows. Therefore, congregation, you are also called to be holy. Christ has called you, ransomed you from the futile way of your forefathers. Christ paid for our sins with his precious blood, and it also makes sense that our godly living should be distinct from the world, considering the price that was paid for our redemption. And to live in Christ, to be obedient to God, is who you are now in Christ. This is your identity. And the comfort is that you will have eternal joy and hope for the future. Hope. We have all hope that we need. We have the hope to know that God is in control. God is looking after his congregation. That we even don't have to fear the future. But you have to live to God's glory. And you can be obedient to his will as his people. You will always fear the Lord more as the world. You will be obedient to his will. And in Jesus, you know what real joy, real hope, real peace, real love is. But it's so clear. If you are not in Christ, you are missing your purpose. God alone is the light that banishes the darkness away. And in his light, we are the light of the world as we are intended to be. And the Lord wants you, congregation, to be the bread on his table, the dove who finds his home and goal in Jesus, and the bow that finds his target with the arrows of God's word and spirit. This is what God wants for you. And he made you his children. He gave you everything you need. You are so precious that he gave his only son to die for you. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a purpose in this world and that you gave us an identity in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So easily can we say like the world, we don't know who we are. So easily can we walk away, but you bring us back, calling us to repent, and it's for grace alone, so that we can be the bread on your table, the dove who finds his home, eternal home in Jesus, and the bow that finds his target. And it's for grace alone. Father, we pray for your congregation. We pray that we will stand firm in your word. That we will not be deceived by this world like Israel once were. In Jesus' name, amen.